Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Sips episode, we are going through some gin for sure. Wow, this is such a great lineup. We're having three gins from Waymar and three gins from Freeland Spirits. And I was just talking a little bit about Freeland Spirits. Moss is going to tell us about the first product that we're going to get to taste and rate.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So the Freeland Spirits gin is this elegant and well-balanced product. And so here's some info from them. Freeland Spirits gin is a small batch crafted using a unique blend of traditional heat distillation along with vacuum distillation, which allows us to use fresh Pacific Northwest ingredients. Fresh herbal essences of rosemary, mint, and crisp cucumber lift the nose. Grapefruit and lemon peel brighten the brisk juniper and bold spice. Pink peppercorn, coriander, and star anise mingle with 10 additional dried botanicals in the copper pot still. And your ABV is going to come in at 45%.
Sparky, what did you think about this one?
So, you know, again, I'm a London dry guy. And when I see American dry gins, I always, you know, kind of get my hackles up a little bit where we're getting to. But I have to tell you, I love this. It was so well balanced. It was so unique. You got the spiciness of the peppercorns. And then really, beyond the juniper, you really got that kind of more of that evergreen flavor that I've got some Douglas fir eau de vie that I have. And I don't know where I picked it up, but it kind of
Clear Creek, right?
Yeah, it was Clear Creek. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
And it kind of gave me a vibe of that. But I was just really I'm happy to say I was wrong. And I really enjoyed it. It was quite excellent. And then at the very end, the citrus kind of finished it all off. And I love that part, too. That was really good.
Mm. Michael, what did you think about this one?
I really like this one. You can see how she went into perfume after this because the aroma, there's a lot going on. So it kind of hits some of the traditional gin notes with the juniper. But I like that it's more of a reflection of that area of the country, like the Northwest. Just feels like you're driving through the forest.
It really does. And, you know, that's the thing that I really love about this is I think they captured so much the essence of their backyard so well, you know, with this particular product. I have literally had gallons and gallons and gallons of this gin, and I've made it with so many different cocktails, and I enjoy it neat. It's just really good. And it's really kind of holding well in a very short list of when somebody says American gin, to me, this is a great, like St. George's products, you know, Baton d'Or,
for sure,
you know, really jump out, you know, really quick. And I really think these particular products are going to really be able to stand the test of time. And I think a lot of people will enjoy these for a very long period of time. So, Moss, real quick, what'd you think about this?
I mean, I don't have much to add on what you said. I think, you know, walking through the forest is kind of how I feel about it too. And the nose is just really fantastic. And, you know, you're making a good point too. A lot of your normal stand-up gins that people have at their house are from Europe.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to have an American one that's just really fantastic and along with additional products in the line as well. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, let's rate this up, everybody. Wow. How about that? A Sips rating of 5. Really fantastic. This is one of the more widely distributed products, you know, in the lineup. So you should be able to find very descriptive bottle, kind of a teardrop shape.
Yeah, beautiful
blue.
Bottle.
Yeah, yep. Really great packaging for sure. Sparky's going to tell us all about the pink gin.
All right. So they found their audience and expanded to styles of gin that other domestic distillers seem to pass over and enter the Freeland pink gin. Some more info on this from Freeland directly. Our pink gin is a brilliantly rose-hued spirit crafted to stand out in every pour. Created in honor of Women's History Month, this limited seasonal release delivers vivid natural color and crisp, juicy flavor that transforms even the most simplest cocktail into something striking. Built on a grounded foundation of traditional gin botanicals, this expression layers classic juniper with horsehound, marshmallow root, and turmeric for depth and warmth. White peony tea and Pacific Northwest huckleberries lend brambly brightness, while honey and agave add gentle, rounded sweetness. Roto-vaped lemon balm lifts the profile with a fresh, herbaceous citrus glow. Its natural blush, achieved with a touch of carmine, creates effortlessly eye-catching cocktails and no extra embellishment required. The result is a tangy, floral, and beautifully balanced with personality as bold as its hue, with an ABV of 45.
Moss, what did you think about this one?
Generally speaking, when I see pink gin, I get scared. So I was very delighted to try this one and find that I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was sweet a little bit, but no more than you'd want a gin to be. And I really, really can't say enough about how just fresh it is. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I was wondering if I had to put a dress on to, you know, drink this gin.
You do that anyway, Mike. I mean,
we won't tell whether or not you're wearing one right now.
I don't know. You know, I'm sorry, but it just...
Or Moo Moo, if you will.
It's like, you know, this is a chick beverage, you know, and yet if I step away from all of that, I really enjoyed what was in the glass, you know, and so... Well, I think they've engineered something very well for, I think, the female consumer of this. I love this. Michael, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's a smart thing to do for them because it's trying to, I think, convert non-gin drinkers. Mm-hmm. And so that's both, I think, what's good about it, but also what the only kind of negative thing I'd say about it is I don't think it needs the extra sweetness. I think it's really good. It would be really good to taste it. Without that. So, but yeah, I think it's really cool.
I think they were grinding on this recipe for a very long time because when they look at the ingredients they chose to use, these are not things you could naturally put together. I mean, I felt like, you know, they had to go through probably like 50 different recipes, you know, in this to, you know, probably get it right. And it's just, it's like, okay, you know,
You're deep in there when you're like, I need some whorehound in this.
You know, sure, what? You know. And some cowbell.
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
For sure. Well, let's rate this up real quick. Oh, a 4. How about that?
That's
classic. Well, we only have 1 minute left. And Michael, why don't you tell us real quick about the Forest Inn? We'll rate it up and then we'll close things.
Well, if you've ever had the chance to drive around Oregon in a convertible with all of the windows down, there is the refreshing scent of trees and the land, and the mist. We think they captured that in this next gin. This is the Freeland Forest Gin. Portland's Forest Park is just 5 blocks from their distillery and is one of the country's largest urban forest reserves. While Freeland's Blue Bottle Gin features the best of Oregon's farm fields, our Forest Gin showcases ingredients that grow right in our backyard woods, including chanterelle mushrooms, Douglas fir tips, salal berries, and nettles, all of which have been distilled on the Rotovap to preserve their freshness. This gives our Forest Gin the same all-encompassing quality of a trip to the woods. I loved this.
Mm. I did too, and you know, it kind of threw me after just tasting their base level gin going to this. It was really well balanced.
Incredible.
You know, I thought it did some of the same thing that St. George does, where it's like, oh, wow, we're going to do something that, you know, so let's rate this up real quick. Wow, how about that? We're going to give it a 4.
That's classified.
Really interesting. And I'm sorry we didn't have more time to chat about that last product. Really great lineups, I think, from both. Yeah?
Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, a really great time today here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I want to thank our co-host for being here. Thank you for joining us, Sparky.
Great to be here.
Still have crackers left over, man?
I am one.
Good old boy, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good old boy Moss, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
We have plenty more time. We're going to be able to sip gin, you know, for a while.
Are you going to wear a dress for that too? Or?
You know, only by request, Moss. Just for you, man. What color are you looking for?
White. Pink color.
I was going to say, got pink that matches another one.
Well, this is Good Old Boy Mike asking you to come back and join us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Definitely check out our back catalog with hundreds and hundreds of other product reviews. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
and millions
of of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Thank you for your constant support. You help keep independent community radio alive.
ready for you. I wasn't 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 ready for you.
Bird note. When a northern saw-whet owl spreads its wings, many birds can see something our human eyes can't. The owl's flight feathers glow. It's invisible to humans without the help of an ultraviolet blacklight, which reveals a bright magenta color. Producing this otherworldly light is a trait called photoluminescence. While some bird feathers simply reflect UV light, photoluminescence involves special pigments or structures in the feathers that absorb UV and then release light of their own, often in a different color. Some cases of luminous feathers have an apparent purpose. For example, parakeets called budgerigars have glowing feathers on their crowns and cheeks that may help them stand out to mates. Over 50 species of parrots, as well as some toucans, have similar gleaming ornaments. But for other birds, such as owls, we still don't have a good idea for the reason behind the glow. The luminous owl wings do have a specific use for biologists, though. Scientists realized that they could estimate an owl's age based on the pattern of luminescent color on the wings, which changes predictably as birds grow and replace their feathers. It's a practical application of a beautiful mystery. For BirdNote, I'm Ariana Rimmel. BirdNote is grateful to the many contributions of Dr. Gordon Oriens and for his ongoing support of the show.
We're from the Kiwassa Preteen Spring Camp. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. On the Coeur d'Alene Reservation in northwest Idaho, kids swim, play, and shoot hoops at the Mariemen Health Corps Center, a 32,000-square-foot recreation center. And the tribe is saving thousands of dollars a year on the electricity needed to run the facility thanks to rooftop solar panels installed 2 years ago.
It had been estimated that it would save about $2,500 a year, but utility costs have gone up enough that we actually realized about four times that amount.
Laura LaMattia is the Environmental Programs Manager with the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. She says the tribe is interested in renewable energy not only for economic reasons, but as a way to increase the tribe's control over its energy supply.
The Coeur d'Alene tribe is interested in energy sovereignty. If you look at the history of utility development across the nation, tribes historically have not been a big part of that. And for the Coeur d'Alene tribe, it has four different utilities serving its reservation and little to no representation on any of those.
So she says this solar project is helping the tribe save money while also building its energy independence. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
You're listening to CJ.